Mike DeGubin, hello, friend, and greetings again in this blessed and wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, numerous times you may hear me say amen when our song says he's coming soon. Oh, beloved, do you realize how near the return of Jesus Christ is? Every day are you greeting others with Maranatha? Beloved, the Lord cometh, and his coming is very, very soon. Maranatha is a greeting that reminds people of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're living, beloved, in the days in which I believe with all my heart Jesus is coming again. Each day you and I need to remember to greet others with Maranatha. The Lord's return is imminent. And look up for our redemption. The redemption of these physical bodies is drawing nigh. The Lord's going to complete the job that he started in us, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God's at work in you and me, and when Jesus Christ comes to catch us out, to meet him in the air, we'll be given glorified bodies like Jesus had when he arose from the grave. And, beloved, we'll be delivered from these bodies of death, these bodies of sin, as Paul describes in Romans chapter 7. Oh, what a privilege and joy to know the truth. And, beloved, that's why God's Word is so essential. That's why it is so important for the believer. As we've already seen, the milk of the Word helps us to grow. The meat of the Word makes us to grow even more and to become mature in Christ Jesus. The Word is essential. It will keep us from sin. Our sin will keep us from the Word of God. Beloved, it's as simple as that. Either the Word of God will keep us from sin if we'll get into it on a regular basis and read it and study it and meditate upon it and hide it in our heart and then obey it. Or, beloved, sin will keep us from the Word of God, and sin will overrule and run our life. Do you want to live a life of victory? Do you want to live an overcoming life? Do you want to be all that God intends for you to be? All that is already available, if you will only accept it and receive it, then, beloved, get into the Word. On a regular, daily basis, get into the Word. God's Word is powerful, beloved. God's Word is powerful. Do you realize how powerful the Word of God is? Notice in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Do you see how powerful God's Word is, beloved? Jesus Christ is the living Word of God, as we'll see in a few moments. He spoke this universe into existence. That's the power of the Word of God, beloved. You talk about power. It's hard for us to conceive and to fully understand the power of God's Word. How powerful God's Word really is, beloved. It's so powerful. Over in the chapter 1. Of the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, and notice verse 3. Who being, and he's speaking about Christ here, let's read verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Notice that God the Father made the worlds by Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one who did the actual creating, who, speaking of Christ, being the brightness of God's glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Christ upholds all things by the word of his power. Man tries to explain it away. Who was it that created gravity? The Lord Jesus Christ. He created gravity. And it's by his mighty power that the earth is held in the orbit that it's in. It's not too close to the sun. It's not too far away from the sun. If we were a little closer to the sun, we'd burn up. We'd catch on fire. If we were further away from the sun, we would freeze. Beloved, we're right where God intended for the earth to be when Christ created it and brought it all into existence. Now, he could use whatever means he desired to use to bring it about. He is the Creator God, and he's the one who spoke and brought it all into existence by the power of the words of his mouth. Look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Again, let me ask you, is God's word important? Oh, yes, beloved, God's word is almighty. It certainly is. Look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful. There it is, beloved. God's word is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, separating the two, making a definite distinction between the soul and the spirit, and of the joints and of the marrow. That is, it is so precise that it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, of the human spirit, and of the soul. Oh, beloved, God's word is powerful, and it's essential, beloved, that you and I get into the word of God on a regular basis and read God's word. It is powerful. Turn with me to Jeremiah over in the Old Testament. Remember, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Jeremiah 23 and verse 29. God tells us, "Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" Fire is powerful, beloved. Fire can consume a whole city. The Chicago fire is an example. Years ago, when Chicago was burned up by the Chicago fire, fire is a powerful thing. And even today, we constantly are fighting forest fires and are learning their power and how dangerous fire is. God says, "My word is like a fire, beloved." That's how powerful God's word is. And he says it's like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. Have you ever seen a big machine that has a metal ball or a steel ball on the end of the long cable, and it swings it and hits a building and knocks the building down? A hammer. How powerful a hammer is that can shatter rock in pieces. Beloved, that's the word of God. That's the power of God. And who is it that is the word? Well, the word is spoken of as Jesus Christ. In the book of Colossians chapter 1 and verse 17, we read these words. Colossians 1 and verse 17, speaking of Christ. If you'll notice, let's go back to verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, speaking of God the Father, in whom, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is, speaking of Christ, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him, Christ, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. There it is, beloved. Do you see how powerful the Lord Jesus Christ is? By Christ Jesus, all things consist and hold together. Oh, beloved, how powerful is our Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, in the beginning was the Word, capital W-O-R-D, it's someone's name, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. This is God. The Word is God. The same was in the beginning with God. And so we see the Word was with God, the Word is God, and he was in the beginning with God. Now go to verse 14. And the Word was made flesh. This is John chapter 1, the Gospel of John, verse 14. The Word was made flesh. Now we're beginning to learn a little bit about who the Word is. The Word was made flesh. That is, he took upon physical form. And he dwelt among us. He walked here upon earth. And John says, we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word was God's only begotten Son. Notice verse 17, we see the connection as to who the Word is. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You notice the last phrase of verse 14, full of grace and truth? Beloved, it was Jesus Christ, for grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Oh, beloved, how wonderful, is the Word of God, the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, who brought God's undeserved favor into the world. Jesus manifested the undeserved favor of God by taking upon himself human form and coming to this earth to go to an old rugged cross to die for you, to die for me, to pay the penalty for our sin, that we might be delivered and liberated and redeemed and brought back into fellowship with God, that we might be set free from the bondage of sin and walk in liberty to the glory, honor, and praise of Jesus Christ. Oh, beloved, praise his name. Till next time, goodbye.